Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Talking some Penn State football with Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkins. But this is our fourth and final part of our redshirt review series, just breaking down Penn State's 2017 recruiting class. Guys that took their freshman season to work on things, to develop, to get bigger, to get stronger. We just want to make sure they don't fall off the radar, because some of these guys could be making their contributions this year as redshirt freshmen. It would not be out of the question. So we've got four more players to go. We've done 12 already. You can check all those previous parts out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Starting for now, Greg, looking at Mike Miranda as the first player in this group. And he's another guy he enrolled in January, which was good in its own right, was able to get bigger, get stronger, made a really good impression. I don't know where exactly the center and guard positions are going. That's something I'm really curious about. But he ensured with that first impression that his name is going to be in the mix for that.
Yeah, no question, Dustin. I mean, Mike Miranda is a guy that you just wonder if there was a rule then like there is now that allows you to play in up to four games as a redshirt freshman and still not lose your year of eligibility. You just have to wonder if he would have gotten some snaps, even if it was in garbage time last year, so that, you know, Penn State could get his feet wet and get a better idea of what it was working with when it comes to a guy that's from Stowe, Ohio. I mean, one of the more impressive and incredible transformations I think I've ever seen, considering he went from a guy that enrolled last January and looked nothing like the guy he did by summer camp. And then he's just kept progressing from there. I mean, I think he is certainly among maybe the one or two guys who have made the biggest physical strides under Dwight Gault in just a year's time since that staff arrived with James Franklin back in 2014. So I don't know if he's in line to play this year. I think he may see some snaps here and there, but unless someone gets hurt, I think he's probably still a backup at this point in time, and that's quite okay. But he is certainly one making progress and making big strides at this point in time.
Do you expect, and Miranda's part of this conversation, do you expect changes with who's playing center? Connor McGovern, he's a true junior in 2018. Is he playing a fourth season, and is he playing a fourth season at center? You know, I think it's been floated out there, not even by us, by James Franklin, that really a guy like Michael Mennett has a better skill set for center than Connor McGovern does. Connor McGovern, a more traditional guard build, 6'5", 326. He's a monster player. A lot of times you see a little bit smaller players making it at center too, but where does Mike Miranda fit in that dialogue also?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you look at what Penn State has, and it could use Mennett at center. It could obviously keep McGovern at center, or it could slide Miranda in there. I mean, I think when McGovern goes, it'll probably be Miranda next in line. But I don't know. I mean, we've talked about this before. It seems to make sense for Penn State to move Michael Mennett into center and put McGovern back at guard for all the reasons you just listed. But for whatever reason, they've never really... It's not that they haven't explored it, but all the guards get snapped. So it's not like, or at least it hasn't appeared that Mennett's been getting a whole lot of extra work inside, which leads one to believe that things are going to stay like they are, which is fine. But I did sort of wonder if that wasn't a direction they were going to go. However, at this point, it doesn't seem like that'll be the case.
Next guy up, Cam Sullivan Brown, which you want to talk about a position group with so many bodies and not a clear resolution of who is who's going to be the next wave. Cam Sullivan Brown, you look at KJ Hamler and Mac Hippenhammer, Justin Shorter coming along, the guys from the 18 class coming in, Jahan Dotson and Daniel George also. This is a crowded room, and I just, without seeing Cam Sullivan and Brown and on the field without having a clear, like he's that in that 6 foot, 185 pound range without having a clear designation of slot versus perimeter or whatever. I don't know where he fits, and it's not to say that he doesn't fit, but he's a real wild card, I guess, on the depth chart.
6 foot, 189. Was a very good high school player. Obviously, a well regarded recruit. He comes out of a pretty good high school football program as a 4-star. He was, a couple times in all Maryland pick and a USA Today All-State pick. So, he has the pedigree of some of the better players that Penn State has. But the one thing I just can't seem to figure out is what you just mentioned. It's where does he fit into the fold here? He's 6 foot, 189. He, looks about the same as he did when he got here, maybe a little bit more defined. But I just wonder where exactly he fits into the mold here and where, Penn State's going to use him. And again, the room is pretty crowded right now, and that's not going to necessarily be the case, maybe a year or two from now when some of these guys move on. But right now you have so many older guys who are in line to play a significant number of snaps. And Dustin, I just don't know if I see Cam Sullivan Brown really having a big role this year.
And it leads me to wonder, is somebody who's currently listed at wide receiver, are they going to flip to the other side of the ball? We haven't seen much. Has anybody really done that since Troy Apke?
Wide receiver? So. Yeah.
I don't think it's out of the question, and I'm pretty sure Cam Sullivan Brown, and again, this is just purely speculative. I have no idea what he's been doing behind the scenes. I think he played cornerback in high school. So it'll be interesting. Again, there's a fine line when you're playing as many guys as you do at wide receiver. Yeah, between having too much depth and not enough.
Right. It gets into that weird situation that Josh Gattis always talked about, which was you hate to be in a situation where you're not getting guys reps, but at the same time, it's a great place to be because you have so much depth that whether something goes wrong from an injury standpoint or if guys just aren't producing, you have the competition going on that should be able to replace a guy that's not performing at a high enough level. So it's not a bad thing, but you do end up getting some disgruntled guys at time. I don't think Cam Sullivan Brown is one of them. However, it is something to keep an eye on here moving forward.
He's a technician, and I mentioned, I think, early in the week, Mac Hippenhammer being in the DeAndre Tompkins mold where it's not clear. He's not that bolt of lightning that KJ Hamler is in the slot. He's also not 6'4 to really make a living on the outside, but he's in that middle range. And when you're fundamentally sound and that kind of thing, you can make a job for yourself like DeAndre Tompkins has, like Deshaun Hamilton really did. Deshaun Hamilton was not, looking back to his early years at Penn State, was not so athletically dynamic that you just had to use him in a certain way.
Yeah.
He made himself into an impact slot receiver. I'm curious who can do the same thing. Maybe can Mac Hippenhammer and can Cam Sullivan Brown, can they make themselves into something like that?
Right. And can they get into a role where they're maybe not used as much as they would like to be, but they're used some? I think that's part of the equation as well.
And that's part of what DeAndre Tompkins has done over the past few years. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State football. Our redshirt review series is coming to an end. We've got two more names to look at from Penn State's 2017 class, guys that redshirted last year. Jonathan Sutherland, the safety, who is an interesting player, Greg, and I don't know if the door is going to open up for him, but there's a kind of like defensive tackles, how we talked about that position group. These guys, there's not a lot of proven depth there. So there's going to be some opportunity. And what I love about Jonathan Sutherland, going back to his high school film and really comments from James Franklin and others have backed that up, is he's a really physical presence back there. He's not as big or imposing as Marcus Allen, but he plays like Marcus Allen did.
Right. Yeah. No, he certainly is a guy that has all the physical makings of someone who could follow in Marcus Allen's footsteps. And if you think back to Marcus Allen's development, it's almost amazing that he developed the way that he did, because keep in mind how compromised he was having to come in and play for Ryan Kaiser as a true freshman against Ohio State in his first year on campus. A lot of guys could have went backward, but he didn't. And I think when we're talking about comparables, certainly this guy is. And for Penn State, they've been in an interesting spot when it comes to safety recruiting. They've been looking for some guys like Allen who can run downhill and hit, but then they've also been bulking up on the kind of guys that can do a little bit of both, and I think that's what they have here.
I'm a big fan. I thought that he showed in the blue-white game, take it with a grain of salt. I thought he showed that attitude and that swagger and that confidence, that physicality. I think It's not something that Penn State has a ton of on the back end of their defense right now. So in that respect, he's a little bit different. I think you've got your Garrett Taylor. You've got Nick Scott as your presumed starter. You've got Lamont Wade, who's really talented back there and who's physical in his own right, who could create a little bit of a niche role for himself. And then you have, you know, two of your guys who are in their redshirt junior seasons who it just hasn't come together for them yet, but they can't be written off. John Patrician and Aaron Monroe. And beyond that, I mean, I do think that Sutherland can make a play here, and it'll be interesting to see if it happens in 2018 or later than 2018.
Yeah, certainly he's a guy that at the end of the day, I think Penn State expects to get something out of it, even if it's just on special teams this fall, and then maybe an increased role as things go forward.
Last but not least in this series here, C.J. Thorpe, who is part of that guard discussion that we started having about Mike Miranda. One interesting thing that came out about him was James Franklin saying he's ahead in the run game, behind in the pass game, which I think his background as a high school football player lends itself to that. But he's a guy who nastiness does not have to be taught. That's a good thing. And right. And part his experience as a high school player and his temperament lend themselves to really a potentially dominant run blocker. The question is, and this is something that's fascinating that James Franklin gave us to monitor along, is how does an offensive lineman who's ahead in one respect, behind another, how do they close that gap up? That's exactly the way that we'll be watching the early part of C.J. Thorpe's career.
Yeah, I mean, it simply becomes a question of how long will it take him to get into a position where he can be very good at run blocking and at the worst, the lowest adequate at pass blocking. Maybe not great, maybe not superior, but adequate. Because he's a big guy that looks to have – that looks like a guy that should be able to play really as soon as he figures that out, Dustin. I don't think size or strength is keeping him off the field. I think it's technique. So as soon as he can figure that out, he should be in really good shape to get rolling and sort of make the impact that a lot of people thought he was going to make as a four-star recruit and one of the best offensive linemen in the country in his recruiting class coming out of high school.
He was a good recruiting win for Penn State, if you remember, going late into that cycle. It looked like maybe the door was open for, I think it was Michigan. And he closed the door pretty quick. And to get that pipeline again to the western part of the state, to get a guy who was already, you know, 6'3", 322 now, he wasn't all that different looking at him as a high school player. He was built for this. And, Penn State spent a year remolding his body, and they're going to have to keep working with him to bring his pass blocking skills up to speed. But he's a guy who can be potentially pushing for all Big Ten, potentially pushing to be a multi-year starter.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy that projects as a long-term answer for Penn State moving forward along the line.
They got a lot of guys now. That competition is pretty fierce. So is C.J. Thorpe, and I think it's going to be interesting to hear him talk a little trash, to see his temperament on the field, that nastiness play out. It's exactly what Penn State's looking for from an offensive lineman. We're moving on here. Fourth and final quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show coming up. A little Twitter Q&A with the great Greg Pickle. Stay tuned. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.